You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Alicia Thomas. And you know what? This is very exciting. I have a guest today who I am just meeting for the first time right now. I see her on my screen. She's so beautiful. I'm in love with her hair. And here's what is so exciting. Right now, at the time of recording this, we are still full-blown in a pandemic, coming up on our 1 year of when Broadway shut down and all of the things. And my beautiful guest today is currently starring in a show that is open, folks, in New York City. It is pandemic-friendly, a theatrical walking tour in Greenwich, and it's called Voyeur. Okay. I might be saying this so wrong, so you guys do not nail me to the cross. I got to get my accent. Oh, no. Okay, wait. It's called Voyeur, The Windows of a Toulouse-Lautrec. Oh, please help me welcome Natasha Frater.
Oh, my gosh. That was the best intro. Thank you so much.
Natasha, thank you for joining me. I am so happy to see you and to ask you all the questions because I am so curious about everything. But first, how are you today and where are you?
Thank you. I am I want to say that I'm so grateful to be here and I'm so excited to speak with you. And yeah, I am full of a lot of gratitude and love today. I'm feeling really good.
Yes. You're in New York.
I am. I'm right here in New York. Yeah.
And you're originally from London?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice. It's so beautiful. When did you move over to the States?
So I moved here a little over 4 years ago now.
4 years ago, there was a lot happening 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You moved then? That's when we were trying to move out.
I know. It's so funny. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've met someone for the first time. They find out I'm from England, and their response is always like, why are you here?
Why are you here?
And it's not like a horrible, like, oh, we don't want you in our country. It's more like, we don't want to be in this country. Why do you want to be in this country?
Right. We're having some interesting times right now and we're figuring it out. And I'm hoping that we are like in the process of uniting. That's mm-hmm. what it is feeling like. I might be being naive, but I'm hoping that that's where it's going. And that's the goal, right? Like for us to all get along and all the things, but welcome.
Thank you.
So you are a model, an actress, all of the things. And I'd love to ask you about all of it, but I definitely want to start with the show that you're currently in. First of all, when did you hear about it? How did you get into it? Like, I'm sure a bajillion of us want to know. I've been on my couch for the last year. Tell me about this. It's an outdoor show, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's an outdoor pandemic-friendly show. And I first saw a listing for the job on playbill.com. Nice. This was around the summertime of 2020. And there was a part of me that was, aware of everything that was going on, aware that things like Broadway had been shut down. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, if Broadway is shut down, like what does that mean for the future of theater here in New York, especially?
Right.
And I wasn't sure really what was going to be happening, if there were going to be gigs happening. But then the hopeful and the stubborn part of me was like, well, I'm just going to keep looking online. I'm going to keep applying for things because I still want to perform. I still want to be actively involved in the arts. I still want to be working towards my craft. So I just decided to keep going online and seeing what was available. And I came across a listing calling for performers of different disciplines. And I wrote to Mara Lieberman, the executive artistic director of the company that is putting on this show, Bated Breath Theatre Company. And I wrote to her with my headshot and resume and a cover letter, just kind of detailing my background and experiences and interests, you know, all the things. And she fortunately wrote back to me, and we set aside a time to meet over Zoom, of course. We had an interview, and I guess the rest is history.
When was that? Like, you looked it up in June, and then when did you start having the Zoom things? Like, was that still in like the depths of 2020, or was that this year in 2021?
So I remember that I applied towards the end of the summer. It may have been July or maybe even August. And then we started rehearsals at the beginning of September. And then we opened for previews the last week of September. So it was a pretty quick turnaround.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so, like, as an actress to another actress, do you feel safe as a performer?
I do feel safe. Yeah, we have several protocols that we always have in place. So just to give you an example, all performers, whenever we come on site, we have our temperature checked. We have to fill out a COVID form before we actually come onto the site, and we're not allowed to perform unless we do fill out this form. And in that form, we have to write what our temperature is even before we arrive, and when we last received a COVID test, for example.
Good. This is good. Okay.
Yeah. So there are things in place, and I feel safe. And not to give too much of the show away, but my scene in particular does happen for the most part behind a glass window. So I do have a sense of separation between myself and the audience.
Okay.
To a degree.
I'm like all trying to think. I was really trying, and I said this to you a little bit before we started recording, but even for those who are listening, I was really going to try to see you before interviewing you, but I'm in California right now, and I'm not sure when I'm going back to New York. I'm like, in my mind, I'm out here because I'm not, when the world does open up again, when Broadway does come back, we're back to 6-day week work weeks. We're back to 8 show weeks. And it's so crazy that you are there right now in that. And that is so giving me so much hope, and it's so inspiring. But once the whole industry is back, it's like, now we're back. I'm back to missing holidays, birthdays, all the days again. So I'm like, let me just be with my family for a little while longer, hoping that like I want to be with them as long as I can until I get sick of them. Like, I want to get sick of them. So like, be like, all right, it's time for me to go. And so I wanted to see you before talking to you today, but I'm not sure when I'm going back. So I cannot wait to like keep talking to you and then to see you when I go back. Oh. And talking to our point of contact, it sounds like everyone has masks and it's outside, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's another reason why I do feel safe, because first of all, we orchestrate the show in a way where audience members are experiencing the show in a very intimate group. So we only allow up to 8 people maximum to watch the show at one time. And even within that group, everyone has to be socially distanced, and they have to wear masks.
And it's like a walking, I don't know. I've not done it. I'm not gone yet, but like, yeah, it's like a walking tour thing.
You're right. It is. Yeah. It's a walk-in tour, and each group actually has their very own personal tour guide that takes them through Greenwich Village, which is where the show is happening. So Greenwich Village in Manhattan, New York, and the tour guide will take them to various different streets and venues around the village. And all of the spaces, I believe, apart from one, the audience gets to experience the show from outside. So there's only one venue where they briefly go inside. Otherwise, everything is outdoors.
Okay. And so I don't know what your part is, and I don't know if it will give it away or what, but I have to ask, are you wigged in the show? Do you have your beautiful natural hair out in the show like you do right now? What's the sitch?
So I actually have my hair natural, just as it is right now. Well, I say that my hair has a life of its own, is what I'm
saying.
And so I accept that. I let my hair do what it needs to do. So I wear it natural. Some days it's a little fuller. Some days the curls are more defined. But yes, it is my natural hair every time.
That is such a real thing. When we are asked, or when we are wearing our natural hair, especially in a show that happens more than once in a blue moon, it's gonna look different every day.
Yeah.
That's and real. It's great that you're like, I accept that. How about the powers that be? Did they have any opinions about that, or are they just like, do your thing, Natasha?
You know, as far as I'm aware, everyone has been very much like, do your thing. And I'm so grateful for that and love that they have just embraced the natural hair and haven't tried to change anything. I mean, even from the very beginning, I remember when I went for my fitting and the costume designer, Christopher, at the time when I went for my fitting, my hair was in a bun. And like, oh, I've seen pictures of you with your hair out during rehearsals. You are going to wear your hair out, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, sure, I can. And he was like, yeah, I think you should. And I was like, oh.
What did you think they were going to ask of you? For you to have it in the bun?
No, I didn't expect that. But it was just nice. It was just nice to feel like they were very open, accepting, yes, on board. And that's how it's felt for me throughout this process. Like, I've never once felt like I can't embrace my natural hair, my natural look. So I really appreciate that, because obviously I'm sure we've both had our experiences, I would imagine, where that's not always been the case.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So I've looked through some of your photos as well. And I do as well have noticed, I'm like, she wears her hair down so much. And I am so inspired by that, Natasha. Like, I have my hair down in this moment, but it's literally because I was just rushing. I just got a sandwich and I ran in the door and my hair was in a ponytail. I was like, oh, I don't like it. I literally just was like, I don't want to run late. And I took my thing out and I didn't have a chance to fix my hair. That is why my hair is down. And I never wear my hair down because I feel like I'm on a journey. Okay. I'm still on the journey.
Right.
And so I'm here to ask you, like, have you always embraced, like, I like playing with mine if it's like up and an updo, or like, but down, I feel like blah, blah, blah. But I don't feel that way when I look at you. So have you always embraced like wearing your hair down? Like, did that come over time? All the things.
Yeah, I love that expression.
All the things.
I don't know why, but it makes me giggle. I really like it. But anyway, yes, I can actually relate. I have also been on a journey where my hair is concerned. I guess it kind of depends on your perspective of natural, because in one way, I've always been natural in the sense that I've never done weave or wigs or like texturize my hair or anything like
that. I'm sorry. That just went right over my head. You've never done weaves. You've never done wigs. You've never done any type of okay. Oh my gosh. You're a hair virgin?
I am.
Oh my gosh. She's a rarity, folks. Like, tell me more. How? Who are your people? Like, what?
That's so funny. Yes. But with that being said, from a pretty young age, I did have my hair straightened with heat.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's where I can't fully claim the natural title, I guess, because I did for many years have my hair straightened. And actually, it was when I moved to New York that I just stopped straightening my hair altogether. Oh. Yeah. So I had always like worn my hair natural from time to time, like just whenever I felt like it. But more often than not, I would say I straightened my hair. But when I came to New York, I remember so vividly, I came during the summertime. I stepped off that plane. I don't know what I was thinking. I was in Timberland boots. I was in a full-on coat.
I was already sweating.
I was not at all prepared for the heat of New York in the summertime. And not just the heat, but the humidity.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that is like serious.
Right.
So the humidity, and on top of that, when I first came to New York, I did a 6-month training program where I was doing like 18 hours of movement classes a week. So I was like, no, this
is not be straight.
This is not going to work. And I don't have the time to keep straightening it every day. Nor did I really have the desire to either, to be honest. So I was just like, I'm just going to let my hair be natural. And the more that I did that, the more that I actually preferred how I looked when I had my hair natural. And on top of that, I feel like the response that I got from people, generally speaking, was just really, really positive.
See, that to me is like so crazy. And I'm not saying crazy because like, what? But I have experienced a very similar thing. And it's so interesting to me. I'm like, what do you mean you like my natural hair? I when my own eyes are so used to seeing my hair straight or with a certain type of wig on, and then I have to retrain my eye to like the way it grows out of my head. To me, that was like almost traumatizing. But for somebody who maybe doesn't know you, it might just feel so much more in alignment. Like it just looks like you. Like it.
I agree. And you know, I've had people say to me, oh, your hair really suits you. And I always find that to be a funny thing to say, because on the one hand, like I'm pretty sure that when people say things like that, it's coming from a really good place and they're well intended when they say that.
Yeah.
But then a part of me is like, well, why would I be made with hair that doesn't suit me? Like, really, we're all made with hair that suits us. And somewhere along the way, many of us have been conditioned to think otherwise and to think that, you know, if we have curly hair, we want straight hair, or if we have straight hair, we want curly hair, or, you know, the list goes on and on.
Of course. It's interesting because here's the thing, like, we love a good weave, honey. We love a good wig. We love a good silky press, okay? I'm in a stage of my life where I'm like natural all the way. But when I see another black girl rocking whatever, I'm like, you better. Like, especially when they're like, I know I look good. I'm like, you look good, girl. You look good. I'm like, I will be the first one cheering on somebody. I'm just team natural right now. But I want to say, like, I believe like God knew what he was doing. And sometimes it takes like us to catch up. Like it's all there and we have no idea. Well, some people do. Mm-hmm. Okay. But like I had no idea like what am I got to work with. I'm like, ugh, my hair is like this, my face is like this. No, your bone structure is beautiful. Your hair is beautiful. And it's like we catching up. God's like, it's about time. I've been waiting for you to realize your beauty.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
How about when you show up to modeling gigs? When you're on set, first of all, do you usually do your own hair? Do you usually let hair and makeup do your hair? Are you comfortable with that? All the things.
All the things. So it really depends on the shoot that I am participating in. So I've had a mixture of shoots, some where I'm required to style myself and some where they have a full team that will take care of me. I personally don't mind either way.
Okay.
It's nice when they have a full team and I can just sit in the chair and just be like, okay, you work your magic. I'll just and I don't have to do anything. And I do feel like I trust the stylists because they're professionals. They know what they're doing. They're qualified. They have experience. And yeah, I feel like who am I to kind of question their level of expertise? There must be a reason why they've been hired, why they
we
are.
We hope, right.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And you usually trust hair and makeup with your natural hair. Like, I feel like sometimes, and this, it sounds like you've had great experiences, which is the goal. But yeah. Sometimes I feel like I sit down in a chair and they see my texture and they're like, ah, what do we do?
I mean, I can definitely relate to that a little bit because I think my hair is kind of deceiving. It's very thick and it holds a lot of everything. It holds a lot of water. It holds a lot of oils and things. And also my hair, the texture is different in different places as well.
Oh gosh. I don't like that about, yeah. It looks good on you, but like experiencing it, that is frustrating.
I know it's not ideal, but yeah, I have to say, like, I haven't really had too many situations where I've been like, oh my gosh, like, I'm really scared. Like, I don't know what they're going to do to my hair. Like, for the most part, it's been good. Yeah. Okay. I feel blessed.
And when you are in a wig prep for a show or if you just have on, you said you didn't wear wigs, but like if you're in a show and you have a wig that you have to wear, what is your wig prep? And I'm asking you, I like to ask this question, but I'm specifically asking you because we have a similar texture. And I'm like, what do you do?
Well, it's interesting because I think to date, I have never been cast in a show where I've been required to wear a wig.
Wow.
So I haven't gone through that whole wig prep process, actually. So wow. I'm intrigued to know what your prep is.
That is so interesting, Natasha. Oh my goodness. You know what? Since we're here, and I can even cut this out, whatever. Actually, I never talk about my own wig prep. I'm always just asking other people. But I used to do what I like to call white girl pin curls for so long because that's what I learned in school. And that's what I did in community theater. And a lot of people around me were not black. And so I did what they did. And that's like the pin curls that you like wrap around your finger and then you put the two bobby pins in all over the head. That works if you've got your hair straightened.
Right.
Or you don't have the texture that we got. Okay. On Broadway, I like to do, I like to moisturize. If I have the time, I'll sit there with a spray bottle and some conditioner and do like a twist out. Mm. Like I will put chunky twists all over my head and then softly wrap them around almost like a Bantu knot. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like almost like I don't want to call it a ghetto pin curl, but kind of like it's like it's like a really loose, twisty, soft pin curl, but try to make it as flat as possible because we still have to put a wig on. So I'll do that. Or if I want to even use less bobby pins, I'll do a twist out all over my head with big chunky twists, but only pin the sides where the wig pins in. Maybe two on at the temples, maybe two in the back. And then the rest, just lay it down and put that wig cap on.
Wow. I'm so intrigued because I have friends who wear wigs and they all braid their hair and then will put a wig cap on.
Braiding is good. I'm not good at braiding, but yeah, that's ideal.
Right. And I was just like, listening to you, I was like, wow. Like, I just have this vision of, I don't know, the wig not being able to fit onto your head. Because I'm just thinking about my own hair and all the hair I have. And I'm like, would that work?
Would that work? It might. It might not. And sometimes my hair is thick. You know this. Sometimes my hair is bigger and thicker, like if it's like a day three or day five. Whereas if it was today, I might be able to get it down way, because I just washed my hair today, like get it much flatter. And there are times that I sit in the wig chair and the wig person will be like, really? Really? What? You brought me some mess today. I'll be like, I'm so sorry. I was in a rush. Please put this wig on my head. Don't tell on me. Don't write me up. But yeah, there's different ways to do it. That's just my favorite way, but it might change when I get back in a show. So we'll see. But I am so excited. Thank you so much for spending the time with me. I'm like, even just like looking at you and like feeling your sweet, beautiful spirit. Like it's just,
thank you.
It's refreshing. And I'm excited to see you perform this spring.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say that I'm so excited for you to see it. It's going to be so nice to have you in the audience. I'll be like, I recognize her. Even through your mask, I'm pretty sure I will feel your energy vibrating through.
And
it's going to be so good.
Yes, I'm like, Samara, I'm ready for my two tickets because it is time to see some theater and feel safe feeling theater as well. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like seeing your show will be, because obviously I want theater to come back. Hello. But like at the same time, I'm like, wait, do I feel safe? And I feel like seeing an outdoor-ish show is a good way to ease back in. So
I think so too. Yeah. We really do take as many safety protocols as possible. Even as audience members, when they arrive, they, I believe, have to get their temperature checked. They also have to fill out a COVID waiver.
Good.
Yeah. So we're really trying to make this feel as safe as possible for everyone.
Tell me the name of it again.
Void. Yeah.
How do you say it? Because I was saying it crazy.
No, really, you've got it right. I actually like the way you say it. I feel like you give it a little bit of, I don't know, finesse. I like it.
Okay, say it again. You say it the way you say it.
Okay. Voyeur, the windows of Toulouse-Lautrec.
At the what theater?
So it's presented by Bated Breath Theatre Company. Because it's predominantly outdoor, we don't necessarily have a theater space, but we do actually start at the Duplex. That's our starting point. Yeah, that's where the box is.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I can wrap my mind around that, like right next to Stonewall.
Yes, exactly. It's a really fun part of the village. And I have to say, like, people in the village have been really encouraging and supportive of what we're doing. Actually, I can't tell you how many times I've had an audience member come up to me after my scene and just say, thank you so much for what you're doing. Like, we really miss theater. We love that you guys are doing this. And like, as an artist, it's so heartwarming to hear that. Yeah. Like, I can't tell you. It just, every day I count my blessings, because I think this is what I came here to do. You know, I moved to New York to pursue my craft as an artist, and I'm not prepared to let a pandemic stop me from doing what I love. And evidently I'm in good company with other artists and a wonderful team that feel the same way. Yeah. And we're safe. Yeah, we're safe. Yeah, I mean, as safe as we can be. Of course, we are aware of the risks. I knew going into this that there may be some risks, but I was just so eager to be a part of the project. And I'm so glad that I joined, because it's been such a rewarding experience.
Last question. When is there a closing date, or is it open-ended right now?
That is such an interesting question, because we began for previews the first week of September. We were originally scheduled to close November 22nd, but we're in our second extension. So we have tickets available through to April. Tickets are available on our website at the moment. And
I'll post all that. I'll post that in the the episode description.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. On our website, which is unmakinglautrecplay.com. But yeah, you can get tickets through to April. Beyond that, I hope that there will be an opportunity for the show to keep going. I think all of us involved want to keep performing as long as we possibly can. And I think as long as it's safe and as long as people want to see us, we're going to keep performing.
Natasha, thank you. Thank you for joining me. And I cannot wait to meet you in person. Thanks, girl.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. I've had a lot of fun.
Until next time.
Yes. Bye.
Okay, folks, that was Natasha Frater, right now starring in a pandemic-friendly show in Greenwich Village called Voyeur.
If I still might be butchering this name.
Voyeur, the Windows of Toulouse-Lautrec. It's down in Greenwich Village, like at the duplex, like next to Stonewall, right over there. If you're in New York, you know what I'm talking about. And I cannot wait when I go back to the city in a couple weeks to get a ticket, don my mask, and go see it. Tickets are available now. And that was Natasha Frater. You can follow her on Instagram at Natasha Frater. Go to her website, natashafrater.com. She is so beautiful, inside and out. Thank you, Natasha, for coming on. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. I love this network. They are such good humans. And there's also a new app. If you haven't already subscribed to this podcast, y'all, hit subscribe. Tell your friends to hit subscribe. Leave a review. So much love. Thank you for listening. And all of the things. All of the things. I edited this myself, so if it sucks, it's my fault. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. This is Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas.
See you next week, my friends.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.